you have your Bible, in just a moment, I'm going to open it up to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36. I want to share with you today. I've been speaking on about families for the past few weeks, and I want to encourage all of you today. How about Andy on the keyboard up here? Hasn't he been a blessing to us? I just want to encourage all of you to keep going in life and keep moving ahead. Do you know that what you and I consistently take for granted in our lives, we will eventually lose it, or it'll be taken away? What you take for granted, you will lose that. It'll be taken away from you. And you only get out of life, or you get out of things, what you put into it. You sow what you sow into something, you will get out of it. I have up in my office an old hand pump, and I remember I did a series on that. I should bring it out again because I haven't done that series since we were at the YWCA. And I have that old hand pump up in my office. It's one that was on the farm for years and years. And I remember when I was a kid, my mother, we would go to the cemetery on a regular basis, and there was that old hand pump. And she'd send me over there, and there'd be a bucket of water sitting next to it, and I'd start pumping on it, and Mom would tell me, you got to pour the water in to prime it. Now, I know somebody will come up afterwards and tell me, like they did 15 years ago, they said the reason you had to pour water in it is because the seals were bad. If you fix the seals, you wouldn't need to prime it. Well, no pump I ever worked on had good seals, so we had to prime it. We'd have to pour that water in and begin to pump that water. You know, you get tired after a while, and you just stop, and she comes, don't stop. If you stop, we got to prime. We got to start all over again. Does anybody ever remember those old pumps, or am I the oldest guy in here? You got to just keep on pumping on that sometimes because, and when you stop, it's the water stops, and then sometimes you go back farther than where you started. So you can't expect to get something out of anything that you don't put into it first. And even when you don't see anything coming in your life, you don't see anything happening, can I tell you that God is always working something out for you or around you because he's always working on the inside of you. He's always clearing something out of the way in front of you, even when you and I can't see what he's doing. And by the way, when I'm telling you this today, I'm preaching to me right now, okay? Because God is working these things in my life today. He's always working something good for you on your behalf and for your future and for the generation that is yet coming for you. But you will never see that if you quit, if you decide to stop, if you give up on the pumping. You got to keep on pumping on the well if you ever are going to get what you have got coming to you. And sometimes we decide in the middle of it, we just say, well, it's just too hard. Some people say things like, it's just not fun anymore, or it just seems to be too difficult, or, you know, I hear, and then people spiritualize it up, they slather it up a little bit. They say, well, it's just not flowing anymore. Come on today. Or they say things like, my head's not in it. I've heard every little cliche known to heaven and earth. But the Bible says in Hebrews 10, verse 36, that you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised to you. I love that. Because if you decide to stop when it just gets hard or when it seems to be overwhelming, you may find yourself going backwards. Do you know that you don't literally have to go backwards to go backwards? All you have to do is stop. Because life in the world is moving. And if you stop and stay in one spot, guess what? You're literally going backwards. Last Tuesday morning, our great Bible teacher, Bible study, men's Bible study leader, Phil Gardner. Come on, men. Can we give it up for Phil this morning? He's just been hitting it out of the park. And incidentally, all you men, 7 to 8 o'clock in the Outback, every week we have this gourmet breakfast. I mean, bacon, eggs, sausage, pancakes. Now, really, we have oatmeal every week. But it's good. It's better for you. And he began to teach on the lesson, and he brought up this about Joshua in Joshua 6. And, you know, I've been thinking about what I was going to say. I think about it for weeks, and when he said that, and I looked at it, and it clicked something in my heart that I believe the Lord wants to share with you and I, that God's people were about ready to take possession of something that God told them he was going to give to them, but it didn't just drop into their hands. How many of you know some of the greatest things in your life that you will ever get are not easy? Joshua chapter 6, and I love how this starts off. It said, now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out, and no one was coming in. Isn't this just amazing that the Lord is going to start the story out? He's going to give something to Joshua, but he's telling him right up front, when you look at it, you're going to see, the King James says, no one came in and no one was going out. It's closed off. Nobody can get to it. The walls are tall. It looks impossible. He says it's securely barred. No one was going in it. And then verse 2, then the Lord said to Joshua, see, I've delivered Jericho into your hands along with its king and its fighting men. I've come to understand sometimes that the very things that God says that he is going to promise to us, if we look to it only with our natural eyes, we would get discouraged immediately because of the impossibility that it is. And God has told some of you, and he's given some of you this vision. He's given you a dream. You can call it anything you want. You can call it a goal. You can call it a hope. That you've looked at it, you've felt it, you've heard it. But when you see it with your own eyes, you say, it's impossible, and then you believe that. But the Lord says, I've given it to you. Even though it looks impossible, even though it looks barred over, even though no one to this point has come out or go in, you're going to take it. And you're not only going to take it, you're going to have everything that comes with it as well. Because, see, my brothers and sisters, sometimes you can't look at it with the natural eye. If God drops something in your heart and you think, well, that could never happen for me. And if you begin to talk about it and think about it and you create this negative pathway, you will never experience what God has intended for you to have. And this story tells it so beautifully here. He said, I delivered it into your hands. Well, you just told me that no one's going in or no one's coming out. And sometimes God wants you and I to know that it is impossible with man, but all things are possible with God. And he says in verse 3, this is what he says, march around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horn in the front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets, and when you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout, and then the wall of the city will collapse, and the army will go up, everyone straight in. This is an incredible story in God's Word that you and I can learn something about life in, how we pursue things that God has laid on our heart. What happens to us in our families, in our relationships? Sometimes we become so discouraged. We become just so depressed over some things. But he gives us some truths in this story. And I've got 3 little points that I'm going to be over. Number 1, it always seems bigger. The obstacle, the dream, it always seems bigger than it really is. Jericho was the first city in the promised land that God's people would be given and said that they could take and possess. And one of the hardest things for them to realize is their generation before them were wandering over 40 years and could never possess it. And yet here God says, this is going to happen for you. And it wasn't that the city, that the territory was so big that they couldn't conquer it, because the reality of it is, historians say, it would take them less than an hour for all of them to march around. It's so 6 days for under an hour. They get all saddled up, they'd get all ready to go, and they'd start marching around it. They'd be done, and they'd have to sit again. And they did that one day, two day, three. And every day they would march around that. Now, don't you think if God was God, he could have done it on the first trip around? What was the whole impetus for them to walk around that so many times? It wasn't that the city was that big. But sometimes what was big is that the walls were so high that it scared them when they looked at it. And isn't that sometimes when you and I, that things that seem to be so big are only affecting our perspective? You know, I've learned that over the years where I lived. I grew up in a little South Byron, just a little bit east of here. And out behind our house, there was this huge rock out there. I mean, that thing was the size of, you know, a big bulldozer. It was huge. We'd go up there. We'd sit on that rock. We used to think that was the biggest rock in the world. No one had ever seen anything bigger. Now, remember, as I got old and I left town, and years later, I remember going back. I thought, I'm going to go find that great big rock, just kind of nostalgia's sake. I'm going to walk back there in the woods, and I'm going to find that rock that we all sat on. I'm walking around, I'm looking, and I saw this rock, but I thought, man, it looks like in the same place. Somebody must have taken the big one and put a little one in its spot. Until I'm walking around, I'm looking at it, and all of a sudden, something dawned on me. That was the same rock, but my perspective had changed concerning how big it really was. And God sometimes will allow you and I to walk around certain things for a season, because he's not necessarily trying to just give you opportunity for new scenery, but he's, as you're walking around, as you're moving through life, he wants to work something out of you so he can deposit something inside of you. And God's telling the people of Israel, I want you to look at this, and I want you to see your perspective changed day by day. And sometimes if you only live by your senses and the perception of what you can see with the natural eye, you'll never move in the dimension that God calls you and I to move in with our spiritual senses. That's why it's so important for you and I daily to hear things and see things that will stretch you and take you further and higher than you ever have believed before. To put yourself in situations that will cause you to depend on God and allow him to empower you to not only see the impossible, for you yourself to do the impossible and to believe with all the passion and the heart that you can, that he can not only do that in you, but that he can do it in your family and in your home. That's why also it's so vital to be in God's house together. I just got to tell you something. That sometimes, including today, sometimes when I come in, I need something. And sometimes I don't even know what it is that I need. But when I come into the house of God and I hear the music and I hear all of your voices lifted up in one accord, something lifts off of my life and I sense the power and the blessing and the favor of God coming in. And that's why we need the house of God in our lives. Oh, come on. You should clap your hands on that right there. We need one another. We need that. So it seemed bigger than what we thought. And the second thing is, we don't see what we hope for as fast as we hoped it would be. So many times in our lives, we want to get to where we're going now. Sometimes some young preachers, they look at me and they think, man, I want that and I want to do this and I want to do that. Hey, listen, I'm 62 and I'm not even where God has called me to be yet. But this just didn't happen in my life overnight. Sometimes people want things now. But God, even though he says he's given it into their hands, he said there is a process that you have to go through in order to get that to you. Now, God told Joshua what was going to happen, but Joshua never told his people what was going to happen. He never told them the process. He says in verse 10, he commanded the army, don't give a war cry. Don't raise your voices. And this is the most powerful thing. He said, don't say a word. until I tell you to. And isn't that in our own lives? Don't we sabotage our lives with the words that come out of our mouths? We get in the midst of something, we get discouraged. Oh, what's the use? I'm going to give up. This is too hard. I didn't know it was going to be like this. How come we got to go this way? How come I got to go around this one over and over and over and over again? Hello? Why have I got to do this? And out of our mouths, we sow these seeds. And the last week I said in Proverbs 18:21, death and life, you hold the power of it in your mouth, in your tongue. And whoever uses that, you're going to sow seeds in a garden and you're going to eat what you plant. When you say things like, I can't do that, I can't be that, we're never going to get there, we'll never accomplish that. And then it's not enough for you to say it. If you'll say that, you have this propensity when you talk like that to bring everybody else around you who talks like that. Amen. I'm going to amen myself. Amen, preacher. Amen. You ever notice that? My mother used to say it like this, so poignant. She said, birds of a feather flock together. She'd say, I know what you were doing by who you were hanging around. I want to encourage you today. Watch what you're talking about. Joshua said, I don't want you to say a word until it's time. Why? Because if they walked around there, they'd be walking around there, this is stupid. I can't believe we got to do this. And we did it the day before and yesterday. Now he's telling us to do it again. Have you ever done things sometimes over and over and you wondered, why didn't this happen the first time? Why have I got to do this again? How about parents telling your kids, clean up your room, make your bed, put your shoes away. Well, I'm just going to wear them again tomorrow. Why have I got to do it again? Oh, I've got a great little acronym, but it's not appropriate for me to tell here. If you want to know what it is, ask me after church, and I will tell you. While you do things over and over again, and then the last thing, I'm closing with this. The process to your victory isn't timed. You start, and you keep on going. I know everybody wants to know, well, how long is this going to be? How long have I got to go through this? How long is this going to take? How long? What is the time frame? And listen, you're looking at a guy that lives minute by minute. I schedule things to the minute. But there's some things in your life you will not be able to put a time frame on. There are some things in your life that you are going to have to start, and you're going to have to keep on going, and you're not going to know how long it's going to take. Sometimes people weld their life to a clock. They put a time on God. God, if you don't do it in this time, then I'm giving up. And the Lord is saying all the while when you're saying that, I just wonder, really, I wonder what he is saying. He's probably, his arms are crossed and saying, what's up with that? I am time. I am the first and the last. I am the beginning and the end. I am Alpha and the Omega. I was there when it ended. I was there when it started. God is time. You can't put a time on everything that you want him to do. You know, in our gym, there's a board where the workout goes, and then there's a clock right above it, a timer. And then two things that everybody does when they come in. They look at what the workout is going to be, and then they look at what the time frame is going to be. And it doesn't matter if the workout is 30 minutes or 10 minutes. The same people every day that complain every day, whether it's 30 minutes or 10 minutes, will complain. They'll say like, oh, that's going to be a long time. They'll say things like, whew, that's going to be hard. That's going to be tough. They'll come up to me and they say, did you see the workout? No, I didn't. Because I'm there. I know I'm going to do it. I don't need to torture myself wondering what it is or how long it is. I'm going to start, and when it's done, I'm going to be done. And some of you need to learn that. In your life, you start, and you're always doing this. What time is it going to be done? And God says there is not a time on it. You go until he says it's over. Amen. You should clap on that. Some of you have put a time limit on your dream. Say, well, that didn't happen in this time. And you put the time limit on it, not God. You said it didn't happen when I wanted it to. It must be over. And I want to come to tell you today that your dreams are still being worked out in your life. They are going to come to pass in your life. Oh, my goodness. Sometimes God keeps us walking around the walls because he wants to complete something in us before he can release something to us. Some of you are, you're just shortchanging yourself all the time. You're thinking, well, this didn't happen in this time frame. I'm done. I'm out of here. You've given up of the things that God has put in your heart because it didn't come fast enough. You want to drive up to the window. I want this, this, and then pull up a little farther, pay, get your goods, and then drive away. And can I tell you, my brothers and sisters, God don't work like that. Some people, they give up when they're closer than they think because they're tired. I hear people say, this is ridiculous. Throw up their hand. I'm sick of this. I tried church. I went 3 weeks and I didn't get what I wanted. There's no God. I hear that nonsense. Some people say, well, mentally, I can't do it. Emotionally, I'm through. But God has brought you here today to hear what I'm about to tell you. I'm going to close on this, Andy. Just slip up to the keyboard. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 3. I'm reading it out of the Good News Translation. I love how this is written down. He says, put it in writing because it is not yet time for it to come true. New King James says, for it to come to pass. It's not time. Then he goes on to say, but the time is coming quickly. Wait a minute, you just said it's not. This is how God just jack you up sometimes. The time has not come, but yet it's coming quickly. You just said it wasn't coming yet, but it's coming quickly. He says, what I show you will come true. It may seem slow in coming, but wait for it. It'll take place, and it will not be delayed. I remember a few years ago, Patty and I with a whole group, we were in Israel. And the trip was over. We got on this big plane. And every time when I get on a plane, God blesses me. I fall asleep before the plane ever takes off. I don't know why. It's something about the buzzing and the humming. And I feel I'm going home. I'm going to sleep. I get on that great big plane, and I'm out. And all of a sudden, Patty's there, honey, we wake up. And I'm thinking, wow, we're already in New York? I slept the whole trip. She goes, no, somebody got belligerent on the plane and we're unloading again. I go, what? Yeah, she said, we got to get off. Just get rid of the person that was bad. I don't want to leave. Honey, no. They said, everybody's got to get off. We got off that plane. We went into the airport. I said, how long is it going to be? This is a midnight. They said the next crew doesn't come in until 4 a.m. in the morning. I said, what are we going to do? We're going to wait. And the people would say, it's going to come. It's going to happen. Thank God. I went down. Patty and I got a free upgrade. Praise the Lord. Somebody say it. But I remember waiting there, and I thought of that story. It's not time yet. Everybody's looking. I can't wait to get. When are we leaving? It's not time yet, but the time is coming quickly, and it'll come to pass. I mean, in the middle of the night, those hours, you're sitting in an airport from 1 a.m. to 4 a.m., it seems like it's taking forever. Habakkuk said, it's slow in coming, but it'll take place. And I'll never forget when we got on that plane, I'm telling you what, from Israel to New York and back home in just a few hours, when we thought the earth had stopped, once we got on that plane, bam, we were home. I want to tell somebody today, God's about ready to put you on a big jet. He's about ready to get you supersonic to where you need to go. You may be thinking the moment that you've been hoping for has been dragging on and on and on. Can I tell you something? Wait for it, because when it comes, it's going to come and you're going to move so fast that you're going to look behind you and say, wow, I can't believe what has just taken place. Come on. If you'll receive that and believe it today, God's going to do something great in your life. Maybe it's in your marriage. Maybe it's in your business. Maybe it's in your work. Maybe it's just in your demeanor. Maybe you've just been struggling as a person. You're having this time of your life. You're going through this season in your life. You just can't understand it. Can I tell you? Wait for it. Wait on it. The Bible says those who wait upon the Lord, the word wait there doesn't mean I just sit back in a chair. It means I get up and I do and I serve and I occupy until he comes. Those who wait on the Lord, he shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like the eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. Come on, if you believe it, you receive that today. Give the Lord the best hand clap praise. Come on. Some of you just need to jump up on your feet and say, that's me today. I'm going where God has called me to go. I'm not going to stop. I'm not giving up. I'm not going backwards. I'm going forward. Father, I pray in particular, even for everyone that is on their feet right now. God, these people, they are receiving your word by faith today and believing, God, that you are going to get them to the destiny that you have called them to go and to be. I pray, Lord, for everyone, prayer people that are going to help me at the altar. Come now, quickly. God is moving in some lives today. Just your eyes closed, your heads bowed. Those that are standing, just remain standing. But I sense the Lord, he's putting some things together in your life. He's just working some things out. Amy, God's going to work that out in your life so quickly. You're going to look back in just a few months and you're going to say, even as difficult right now as it appears to be, you're going to look back and you're going to say, wow, that was nothing. Look at where God's brought me today. Thank you, Lord God. That's for someone else today too. You're in the middle of it. You feel like you're walking through heavy water. You're just like you're wading through it. If God is speaking to you right now, I just want you to get up out of your seat. I want you to come down. Stand with me. Stand right around me at the altar here. We're going to receive that the Lord is doing something beautiful in the house of God today. You need him to encourage you, to help you, to keep on going, not to stop. Just come on. Don't wait. Just come down. Stand up in the altar with me this morning. Watch God do a miracle today in your life. Come on. Keep on coming. Come on down. Come. Over on this side, just come on. Watch God do a miracle in your life today. He's going to strengthen you and lift you up. He's going to cause those things to come to pass in your life that you didn't think could happen. He's going to make all things new again. Hallelujah. Come on, over on this side. There's some more. Let God work in your heart and your life. Just come down. Come quickly. Come. Let him work in your life today. Let him have his way in your life today. Thank you, Lord. All these that are down here, we praise you. Lord, there's still a few more. Just don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Nobody's going to hurt you or you're not going to have to do anything. Just by an act of faith, if you're stepping out of your seat and coming down and standing here, you're saying, I'm not giving up. I'm not stopping. I'm going. There's some husbands. You need to do that today. There's some wives. You need to do that today. You've been struggling. You guys have been fighting. Just butting heads. Said things you shouldn't have said. The Lord can clean all that up in your life if you'll trust him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Just lift a hand up towards heaven right now. My prayer, people, just walk among them. Just lay your hand on them. Don't stop. Just touch them. Pray. Father, I pray for everyone that is here today. I pray, God, that today new life will come into their hearts. I pray that you will fix what has been broken and that you will mend what has been torn apart today. I pray that you will begin to make all things brand new. that healing and forgiveness and restoration will come into a home, into a family today. For those who have been torn apart by even their own bad decisions, I pray healing to be upon their lives right now, God. You can work and make all things brand new. Somebody needs that right now today. He's gonna strengthen you. I hear the word, he's going to resurrect you. Hallelujah. He's going to resurrect you. He's going to lift you up. He's working a miracle in your life right now today. Working a miracle in your home, in your life today. Working a miracle in your life today. Healing, restoration, to make all things brand new. Come on, I need some people in the audience that are sitting. I need you just to pray with me. Just pray. Open up your mouths and pray. All things brand new in your life today. Old things are passed away. And behold, all things to be brand new. Healing and restoration over your lives, over your home, to make all things new, I pray. In the name of Jesus, we praise you, Lord God. We praise you, Lord God. We will not give up. We will not back up. I pray strength on my friends today. I pray hope to come into their lives. And a grace to continue to move in the direction that you have called them to. When the enemy would try to come in and change them, even when they leave today, say, that was nothing. I pray, God, that you would raise up a standard against the enemy. Push him away from their lives. And make all things new. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray blessing over your people, over this house today. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said amen. Amen. Come on today.